wanted to see that it is so much of what this business is about. So thank you for sharing. And let's get on with the show. How about part two? Joel.
All right.
Yep.
Left it or somewhere. Can you just make the full screen? Thank you.
I mean, I like the right.
You know, actually, so our next chapter meeting is April 14th, and our special meeting, our special event, is Marquesa's coming into town, and she's going to do a whole program for us. So, you know, one of the things, and this is very important for all you first-time people, you know, I don't speak for free. I get paid pretty good money. I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm just telling you that's a fact. But I did not get paid to be here today. So for the people who are here for the first time, we have speakers that make $20,000, $30,000 a speech. People that make $1 million more a year. Why am I here for free? Why? Why did I come here, and why am I speaking to you here today for free? Anybody know? What's that? Get it? Well, that's probably you know, not the worst idea, you know.
Exposure?
I don't need a lot of exposure. I do love you guys, all right? Okay? But here's the thing.
Because you owe me money.
The reason that I'm here speaking at your chapter for free is because next month you're sending Marquesa to us for free. And she gets paid big money. And then somebody else from our chapter just went to Albuquerque, somebody else to New Orleans. And so we send our best people to your chapters, and you send your best people to our chapters. And that's how NSA works, is we all educate each other, and all of us best speakers travel around, and we help other speakers become better speakers. Because I don't compete with anybody else who's here. And you don't really compete with each other either. Because somebody that's going to hire me is probably not going to hire you, and vice versa. Although we may once in a while know people who are looking for a financial person, or whatever else you do. I mean, there's all kind of things that y'all do, and sometimes we hear about things and we can help each other. But that's a very significant thing about how this organization works. And I want y'all to be very sensitive to, you know, to that kind of thing. This is a giving organization. Let me just tell you this. As somebody who networks a lot, what is the fuel of networking? What makes networking work? What makes it work?
The share.
Giving. It's giving. You have to give first to get. You have to put deposits into the bank account so that you eventually can take them out. And that's really the way it works. So you have to give first. If you just walk around like this, you know what you're going to get? You get nothing. I promise you, you'll be very, very dissatisfied with your outcome. And the most successful networkers are busy running around saying, how can I help you? What do you need? What do I know how to do that can be helpful to you? And then people say, well, gee, that was really nice of you. That helped me a lot. What can I do for you? And by the way, networking is not necessarily one-to-one, is it? Just because I help you doesn't mean you help me, because I may help you and you help somebody else. That's a pay-it-forward kind of arrangement, and that's healthy. So that's what we want to do. So we just looked at business models, and there's a whole bunch of different kinds of business models, and we've got all these different deals here. And now we're going to talk more specifically about one of my favorite ones. One of Bruce's favorite ones, too. Every year, we take our kids and now all the significant others on a big family vacation every December, you know, because the kids are now moving away, and if you don't do something really great. In fact, one year, kids came home, we didn't do anything, and my older daughter said, well, I don't want me to be rude or anything, but I'm not taking 2 weeks of vacation off to sit around and watch TV. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, if the store doesn't start carrying better merchandise, the customers are not going to be coming to the store. So, you know, we're going to have to do something really awesome. So what we do is in January, we pick out a vacation, and we send out an invitation to the kids, and we say, you know, for you and whoever you want to bring, RSVP. And if they can come, they come, and then they organize to get time off of work and all the things that they have to do. And that's that is a great financial goal, by the way. I don't know how many financial planners. Where's Dan? Is he still in the room? If it was me, if I was telling somebody to build a financial plan, and it's not my business to tell people this, put a big vacation for your family on your financial plan. Mm-hmm. You know, put an extra 20 grand or whatever it costs into your plan. I mean, that's the most fun thing that we do all year. The kids look forward to it all year. And how many 20-somethings look forward to doing anything with their family all year? They don't, you know. But you know, I mean, we don't sit on top of them. The rule is they got to have dinner with us. That's pretty much the only rule. So because we're on a cruise ship and they can do what they want. But anyway, so here's the cruise ship thing. So you know, we just came back from one of these deals here. We go every December, and you know, knowing that I give talks like this. I look at these kinds of ships. I mean, I look at these businesses and I think about them and I study them and I inquire and I write. And I use that time to really, really kind of be creative. It's really good for me, you know, and I can tell you a lot of funny stories, but I won't do that. So, but on this particular cruise ship, you know, I'm looking at this and I identify their business strategy as what I call get a finger, grab the hand. That's the business strategy. Get a finger, grab the hand. Now, you can imagine what get a finger, grab the hand is, okay? So it's what I call it's a go deep strategy. Their goal is bring in and then deep, deep, deep. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. And I want you to think about how this might affect you. Now, here's what's important about this. All the great companies in the world do this exact thing, except for speakers. Speakers do not do anything remotely like this. And that's why most speakers are starving to death. No hard feelings, it's just true. What I'm gonna show you right now is why most speakers are starving to death. Because we're embarrassed to do what the best companies do brilliantly. So here's what it is. They sell you a fair price cabin. Pretty fair price. You know, so you buy a bunch of cabins. And then they give you some basic food. Give you your basic entertainment, and then the boarding pass, you get on the ship. And once you're on the ship, they launch a nuclear assault on your credit card. And they just go to town. They have a million different ways for you to leave money on that ship. Anybody ever been on one of these ships? Now, these ships, you know, you would think that these are like nice, you know, like, remember that TV show, The Love Boat? And you know, and these ships, the only way I can describe it is these are floating cash registers. That's how I think about these things. And I love going on cruises. It's very, very good for me. It's perfect. And you know, they talk about that cruise director. You know, they are the chief sales officer. All day long, they are getting you to buy stuff, buy bingo tickets. There's an activity. There's an art auction. There's special restaurants you can go to. There's all these different things that they're encouraging you to do. So let's take a look at this. They even sell excursions. And even the excursions, they understand a lot about the customers. In fact, these people who are mostly not educated, they don't often go to the dentist. They're from very, very poor countries. They understand the human mentality and the mentality of American buyers better than most of us. And that's why I bring this story to your attention. Is because these people could teach us something because they understand something. So here's what happens. So you go on the ship and they say, okay, we're going to be going to this certain port and there's a lot of different activities that you can do. And it's about $100 a person going on these excursions. So you bring a whole bunch of people, it adds up, you know. But if you don't do the excursion, there's not that much to do in the place. So we went on these dune buggies. So we all go on the dune buggies and we're driving around. They're fun, you know. It's fun, you drive around. And about halfway along, now we paid, let's say, $100. So my guess is that 50% went to the excursion, the local people. And I'm sure the ship kept the other half as a sales commission. So they already got $50 from each person, you know, which is probably a lot in their money or whatever. And then they take us to, like, they announce we're going to be having a rest break. We've been driving these little things for like an hour or something. They go, okay, we're going to take a break now. And I just figured it'd be like a little rest stop, outhouses and stuff. No, that's not what it was. This was like an oasis in the middle of nowhere. Right on the beach, the most extraordinary place, in a place that you'll never go back to. And there's this facility, like a bar. They serve every kind of beverage that you can think of, in spite of the fact we had to drive these things. I mean, they have different rules than we have. And so they have this bar, then they got a gift shop, and they sell trinkets, and they sell these... you know, floating things, you turn them upside down, and the sprinkles, you know, those things. I mean, they had all these different things, all food. They had all these different things that you could do all designed to separate us from our cash. Okay, every one of them, they're very carefully designed to get us to give them more money. So what they did is they got the $50 admission, basically, and then they sold everybody a bunch of more stuff, so they got another, I don't know, $20, $30 out of each person or whatever, because they offered us all this stuff. Did you understand? Did you hear what I just said?
Yep. Yep.
They got $50, and then they gave us a bunch of other ways to get more money out of them. How do you do? That's what we're talking about right now. How do you do at this? And we're going to look at how other companies do this, because how they do it needs to be adapted to what you do.
All right.
The best companies, and like when I talk to large companies, I always tell them that everybody in the organization is a salesperson. Every single person. The janitor is a salesperson. You know why? Because you are either selling or you are unselling. If you are a turnoff to the company, you're rude, you're uncapped, whatever you are a turnoff to customers and you are unselling that company. Every person in the company is either making a positive impression or a negative one, and a negative one does not help sales. And if it doesn't help sales, the company is worse off. You follow me?
Yes.
Okay? So everywhere you go, you need to be selling, you need to be positive, you need to be bringing positivity with you everywhere you go. And that's the bottom line, is that on a cruise ship and other places, whatever you want, it is made available to you. And I ask the question, how do you do? If companies want more stuff, if people want more stuff, do you make it available to them? I would say most of us don't do a good job at that. Most of us, okay, I do, what do? I do one keynote and I got one thing and that's all I do, and if they need 10 other things, sorry, I can't help you. That is not a great answer. If you want to maximize your opportunity. Now, if all you want to do is speak and drop in and do whatever you want, it's a free country. America, that's what's great about this place, is it's a free country. You can do whatever you like. But if you want to maximize your business and your business opportunity, there are some strategies that you need to employ. So let's take a look at this. How do cruise ships make their money? Let's look at some of the ways that they drive revenue. So the first thing is you buy your cabin and they go, oh, do you want it in a better location? Do you want a window? Do you want a balcony? Do you want a suite? Do you want it in the middle, in the front, you know, where do you want it, higher, low, you know, where do you want? So they've got all the different things, and depending on what you pick, price goes higher, doesn't it? Then they'll say, we've got the excursions, those are available for sale, and they end up, you know, being a lot. The bar is going all day long, all night long, all morning long, it's going all the time, no doubt about that. They have these specialty restaurants that you can go to, so they give you the basic food, but if you want to go to the steakhouse, or fish house, or some of the other places, it costs more. If you see a painting on the wall, like I like that cow, sold, done. You just buy it right off the wall. And 10 seconds later, there's another one that's replaced. They put another, I mean, there are people who are looking for spots with nails that they just drop another picture on there, you know? That's a part of how it is. Gambling, the casino, they're making money on the casino all night long. Anytime you're not in port, they're just going. There's babysitting services that you have to pay for so the parents can go out and spend money on all the other stuff. So it's one thing after the next. They've just got one way after the next that they're making money. They charge tips. This is one of the things that kind of grinds me on this, you know, is that they charge you tips. What they're basically doing is they're saying, we don't give salaries to our people, so it's just like an extra surcharge that you're paying, but they figured out another way to reduce their expense by collecting more revenue. That's just part of what they did. The spas, the massages, I mean, they've got all these different departments that are going. If you want Wi-Fi, they'll connect you to a satellite in the sky. It's very slow, but very expensive. Bingo, you know, they're $20 a card, they got three cards for 40, they got every deal you could think of, and they're selling them all the time, people are buying them. Money is moving everywhere. 5 points to get a cash advance. If you need a cash advance, maybe at Wells Fargo it's free, but on the ship, 5 points. That's the way it works. And so gift shops, candy shops, it just goes on, and then they're taking pictures all the time of all the different people, and they're posting the pictures, and then you go and you see which ones you like, and you buy them, and they're not a dollar a photograph, by the way, just so we're clear. You know, so bottom line is there's a lot of ways to leave money on that ship. How many ways did you have for customers to leave money with you? This is not about cruise ships. This is about you. This is about you. Hotels, it's the same thing. I'm staying in a hotel this week. I can upgrade my room. I can go to a restaurant. I can do a gift shop. There's all these different things I can do. There's a lot of ways I can leave money at the hotel. How about Starbucks? Anybody go to Starbucks today? A lot of ways to leave money in Starbucks. Many more ways than you think. Their business model, pure retail, very simple business model. But it's expanded, it's grown over time, and that's been really cool. So it starts, you walk in for a cup of coffee. They, once you're in there, you are their asset. You're an asset to them. You're a customer. You come in and they go, long as you're here, we're going to give you a lot of other ways to leave money in our store. Let's think about some of those. You can buy coffee. You can upgrade your coffee to one of those fancy latte, venti, espresso, extra cream, whatever the things are. You know, you all have this fancy language. They sell accessories like coffee makers. They sell mugs, t-shirts. They sell all kinds of embroidered stuff, whatever you need. They now sell food. So if you go in there, you get a cup of coffee, sandwich, drink, beverage, water, you know, whatever you need. They sell gift cards, so prepay, so you can give them money without even buying anything. It just sits on a gift card, which, by the way, they have to put on the books for a long time, unless your Toys R Us, and now they may be worthless. So be very careful about that. There's a whole other story with gift cards for another time. Then they sell beans that you can take home. They sell beans in bulk at Costco, so you can buy pounds and pounds of beans. You can roll around in beans. You can do anything you want. I mean, they got so much beans, you can do whatever you want. They sell music, and here's the greatest part. They sell credit cards. So every time you use their credit card, if you're buying an airplane ticket, they're getting a commission. So they're making money, even if you're not in their store doing anything related to their products, because what they've done is they've monetized their customer base. How many of you have a good list? You're like part of their list, and they're monetizing you. How many of you are monetizing your list? Some of you don't even have a list. You know what a list is? You know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know, there are other people who are better at that than me, but you need to have that. So here's another question I always like to ask. Do we have any CSPs here in the room?
Woo!
CSP.
Yeah.
What is a CSP? What is it?
Certified Speaking
Professional. Okay. That is correct in NSA parlance, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that, because I think that all speakers must be CSPs, not Certified Speaking Professional, although I think it's great. I'm one too. I think it's very important. But here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about speakers who solve problems. Speakers who solve problems. And, or communicators. Sorry. Got ahead of myself.
CS.
Yeah, you know what? CS. If you're not solving problems, then you're not relevant. That's it. So you have to identify the problems, back what we talked about before. I was kind of blurted that out. I just kind of jump in there. So I was actually thinking maybe recommend a new name for NSA and call it the National Association of Communicators Who Solve Problems. And that's kind of a new thing. I don't think it would fly too well, but that's an idea. So bottom line is, don't just be a speaker. Be somebody who solves problems and have lots and lots of ways to monetize that. There's nothing to be embarrassed about having 20 different ways to make money. I mean, a lot of us are just embarrassed. We don't want to ask, well, you know, I'm just... The truth is, if they like you, they want more of you. Our job is to stand in front of audiences and get them to fall in love with us. And when they fall in love with us, they just want to take you home and they want more and more. How do I get more of what you know how to do? You know how to do something that's so important for us. How do we learn more? We're willing to pay. Sorry, I don't want your money. Not available. That's not a great answer in business. That's not a success formula. They don't do that on a cruise ship. I really, really like that photograph. Sorry, sir, it's not for sale. It is for sale. Everything is for sale. Be for sale. Put yourself for sale.
My wife.
Hey!
Whoa.
Who said that?
Whoa. Wow. Wow. Let me tell you something. I am glad I'm not going to your house tonight. Woo!
And I don't know who is.
I have a feeling you're going home alone, but I have a feeling.
Hey, Joe.
Wow. Yeah.
One way speakers can make money on cruise ship.
We're not talking about that. Sorry, we're not talking about that right now. Go ahead.
But I didn't have to pay for the trip
okay.
at all.
I got it.
I did two presentations, 50 minutes each, and I got the whole thing for free.
Okay.
So that's another way you can deal with cruise ships.
Okay. That's fine. That's good. That's not really the purpose here, but that's a good idea. That is a nice opportunity. If you have I'll take a question if it's a relevant question.
One big thing I'm struggling with, to your point here,
yes.
We're all trying to get into this, is what is your suggestion? What is your motto for who can help us do this? I don't know about everybody else, but I know me. I'm stuck in speaking, the strategy, doing a lot of this. I get it. I wish I had someone to manage biz dev. What are your thoughts on a biz dev person? I guess is my question. How do you handle it? Do you
understand? I have an agent. So, well, then when I say an agent, so there people were talking about bureaus. Forget about bureaus. And if you run a bureau, I apologize. But bureaus are brokers. They broker speakers. So, okay, right. Number one, you have to pay them. So make sure you have, you know, you're not just putting them all 100% on commission. You got to give them something, maybe with a bonus. The second thing is that if you aren't crystal clear, you can't give them instruction about what to do. So that problem starts at the very beginning. And so if you're going to invest in that person, you better be crystal clear about what you have them go look for. That's number one. Number two, so I have this this woman that's making phone calls for me, and most people that she connects with, you can't get people on the phone these days. I mean, so she says, Joel, I've gotten six people on the phone. Six people on the phone is not too bad. What about all the other people? We create a list. And every Monday, I'm going to be launching this shortly. I'm going to call it the Monday Morning Money Minute. Okay? So just a quick little thing. Hey, you know, I've been on the radio all week long talking about this. The big issue this week was the tariffs. Here's why tariffs are important. Here's the thing that people are upset about, blah, blah, blah. Kind of explain the concept. And then a month later, when she calls him back, at least remember who I am. And what's important about that is that people have to remember you at the moment they need you. The fact they know you today and then 6 months from now they have some situation come up, if you're not in front of them at that moment, then the deal's going to somebody else. So you have to stay in front of the people all the time. So even if you have a biz dev person calling, you still have to coordinate a way for people to remember who you are so that the value of that contact that that person made for you comes to fruition in the future.
Thank you.
Tom?
The Monday Minute is being delivered in which way?
Oh, I'm going to use BombBomb for that. So BombBomb is like a video email service.
You told me about BombBomb.
Yeah, but it's a cool service. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make it, and the list will continue to grow, and I'll send out the thing, and people will get an email that has a live video right in it. It's very smooth, very fast for me, and you know, I'll just come up with some topic, and every Monday do a minute or two and shoot it out there. You know, that's it. All right. Here is a fact of life, and this is a sales piece, a little sales point, and that is that people pay to make pain go away. Pain is bad, and we will do anything to make pain go away. And it is well known in the United States of America, we take 10 times more painkillers than we take vitamins. So there's a moral to the story. Don't sell positive, sell negative. And I don't mean to be a negative person, but if you are saying, hey, listen, I can help you be happy and fluffy and rosy, people are going, oh, wouldn't that be nice? No one's giving you any money for that. If you say, you know, listen, you got some big problem, and I'm going to make the problem go away, they're going to pay you, and they're going to pay you generously, and they're going to do it immediately when you put your finger on the right problem. But you got to get your finger on the right problem. And here's what's important. Is untreated pain shows up in different ways in companies. It can show up in you know, in financial ways. It can show up in just employee ways. And it can show up in all kinds of other places that may not seem directly related. But when they've got these problems, you have to help them put those fires out right away. Very, very significant. And the bigger problem you solve, the more they'll pay. Now, here's an interesting thing. The word relief is just a nickname for money. You're going to get some relief, and I'm going to get some money for providing that relief, aren't I? And so I'm trying to make it very clear that selling is really a pretty simple concept. And it's, I don't know, I don't find that, you know, selling is hard. I don't find that at all. Now, has anyone ever been told by a prospect, maybe this has never happened to any of you, we don't have the money? Has anyone ever heard that? That's funny? That's funny to you? It's not funny to me. Because when I hear somebody say that, it's a total lie. It is a total lie. It's a blow-off. Like in dating parlance, that's a blow-off, okay? So we don't have any money. Sorry. Love to hire you. We don't have any money. What they're really saying is, we have plenty of money. We just don't want to allocate any of it to you. Now, that would really hurt our feelings. So we just like hearing, well, they don't have any money. The way you know it's a lie, people have all the money they need for the things that matter to them. And here's how you know that. It's because broke people make bail. Let that settle in for a second, okay? I mean, the people that have no money manage to get themselves out of jail, so somehow they find the money. If somebody wanted to hire you, do you think that they would find the money? So if they say to you, we don't have the money, what they're really saying is, you haven't told us anything that makes it worthwhile for us to dig deep into our pockets to bring you on board.
That's right.
But the reason we don't hear it that way is because that hurts our feelings. But that's what's true, is somehow or another, we're not communicating something that resonates for them where they say, we want to do it. So you have to really poke on them. And here's one of the things that I like to say. When I talk about the barbecue and the grill master thing and getting people, you know, kind of rolling them over a few times, there's a story. I was in the hospital one time. And the doctor comes in, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. I had like this abdominal thing. They couldn't figure it out. The doctor comes in. Joel, what's wrong? Oh, man, I just really am not feeling good. I got some pain in my stomach. Like, where? And he goes, how about here? No. How about over here? No. How about here? Ah! What do you think the doctor did? He poked there again. He poked it. He goes, right here? Ah! Yeah, yeah. And he goes, listen, he goes, never scream in front of a doctor. It makes a doctor want to do the same thing over again. And so that's what you have to learn how to do. That's what selling is. Is you poke around and you ask questions and you poke and you poke and you poke and you poke until they start screaming. And then once that happens, you keep asking questions about the same topic. And you keep asking and you keep asking and you keep asking until finally they just are screaming and going, this is horrible. It's horrible. We can't have this problem anymore. We need help with this problem. And then they start begging you to help them, to make the pain go away, because they want the pain to go away. And if you happen to know how to make the pain go away, what are they going to do? Go in the yellow pages and call someone else? No, they're going to hire you, because you're the person that can solve the problem. And that is really the technique of finding the pain and addressing the pain. But you have to know what problem you solve, and you have to be able to say, hey, listen, I've got substantial background to address this problem. Right? Okay. Anybody have any question right now? Just real quick? Yeah.
So what advice, so finding the pain is easy to say but hard to do.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
So what advice would you give us on, now that we know that finding the pain is important, how do we go about
You know, Bruce, can I tell a story about the meeting we had in December without using any names?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So Bruce and I went on an appointment with a company, and I can usually spot the pain in like 5 seconds. I mean, like, I'm super fast at it. We sit with the CEO of this significant company. Bruce got this appointment for us, and we go out there to sell some services to this company, and so I'm poking around, asking questions, and the guy says, no, that's not our problem. I said, well, it sounds like you got this problem. Nope, that's not our problem. That's not our problem. And after about an hour, I mean, I'm really starting to feel like I'm not connecting with the guy. We're just not vibrating on the same rhythm. It's just something's not working. But I kept in mind to myself, I said, you know, this guy called the meeting. He asked us to come there. He didn't ask us to come there to socialize. This is the CEO of a large company. He didn't call us there for fun. So there must be, I couldn't find it. And finally I just said, what are we here for? If you don't have any of the problems that 6 months ago you said you had, and now you say you don't have them, what are we, I wasn't snotty, but I said, what are we here for? And then he told us. He was playing with us or something. I don't know what he was doing. But the logic was, he didn't invite us there, and he's kept us there an hour already. There must be something, and I don't know what, you know, I think he was just kind of just seeing how we were. I think he just wanted to kind of just see how we were going to handle him. And I finally, after an hour, said, listen, we haven't been successful finding the problem. What is the problem that you're having that you want our help with? Why did you ask us to come here? And they told us. You know, I think he was just playing around a little bit. But you know what? Then it was successful, and that was it. And then Bruce has been following up ever since and like that. But if you just ask the people, you ask them questions around a variety of, how's this going? I always like the question, how are sales? I don't care if you know about sales or not. How's revenue? You know why? Because everybody wants more revenue. So you always start by saying, I don't care if you're a filmmaker. I don't care what you are. Whatever you, how's revenue? Could be better. Well, you know what? Maybe a film would help revenue. Maybe a promotional video would help. You can always tie your stuff to revenue. And let me promise you, the closer you're tied to revenue, the easier it is to get money out of a company. The closer you are to being categorized as overhead, you're the first one to go when things start turning down. So if you're just like part of the training budget, so no more training. Okay, done. No more this, no more that, no more this, no more that. You know, instead, you want to be helping them drive revenue where you're a critical component of their success. And if you do that, all the better. Okay, so what exactly is your solution? Which word is the important word there?
Evolution.
Exactly, okay. Here's what, okay, I'm glad that you figured that one out, good. Here is what I see a lot of people do. And again, this is not a success formula. So, Joel, this is our problem. You know, what should we do? Well, I'm not really sure. I think maybe a good idea would be we could try like this over here, or maybe we could try this over here. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of making it up as I go along. You know, what do you think? Just give me some money and we'll just try a few things. What do you think? Anybody gonna be hiring me to do that strategy? I don't think so. What a company wants to hear, and this is why being an expert is so important. Joel, we are really hurting. We're screaming. We got this problem. Not to worry. I've been down this path 100 times. I've seen this problem 100 times. I know exactly what to do. I'll tell you exactly what the steps are we're going to be doing. A, B, C, and D. And when we do those things, you're going to start noticing immediate relief, and the problem's going to start going away. It's going to be very simple, and it will happen very fast, and here's how much it's going to cost. And they're going, that is exactly what we've been looking for. They don't want to hear you say the word, I think. How many people say, I think? I even hear like political candidates say, so what do you want to do about this? Well, I think, the word I think, and this is one of my little memes, means, hold on a second, I'm making this shit up as I go along. I think, okay, now I figured it out. Okay, now I know what to say. I mean, come on. I mean, if you know, then use the word exactly. It is the greatest word. You know, it's second only to the magic word. What's the magic word?
Money.
We'll take it.
The magic word is no. In negotiating, by the way, you say no, and that's a very powerful word, right? But second best to that, my second favorite word, is the word exactly. I know exactly what to do. Now, if you don't know exactly what to do, don't say that, because they're going to call you on the carpet. But if you know exactly what to do, that is about the most guaranteed sales closing word you could ever use. I know exactly what to do. Here are the 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 steps we're going to do. It's going to take this much time. I've done it 100 times before, and it's worked 99 times out of 100. Wow. We were looking for you. You're the person we've been looking for. You see, most people talk about things in such an innocuous kind of, well, hopefully, who knows what. That's not what companies want. They want confidence. They want you to be confident. How can you expect them to be confident in you if you don't exude confidence?
Say it.
Right? I mean, that's, isn't that what Nancy's whole book's about? I saw the word exude confidence on the front of her book. I mean, that's what it is. They want that. That's very important. Right?
That's exactly what it is.
And did we promote the sponsor properly? Okay, so we gave a little thing to our sponsor. Okay. Yeah, well, talk's not over, is it? So we'll see where it goes. All I know is that you're not going home to New York. You better get a hotel in New York somewhere. Yeah. And by the way, your credit cards, I think are probably not working anymore. So I don't know, you're going to have to panhandle a few dollars to get in a hotel. All right. So you need to understand, in order to do that, exactly how you add value to a company's situation, how you solve their problems, what you're going to do for them, how they're going to be better off. And I sort of base my pricing on a lot of that, too. If a company's going to make $200,000 on my suggestion, then I should make a percentage of that. That's kind of how I start thinking. And that's the pricing is a little different discussion, but that's how I think. So let's talk about business models. We talked first about business models of other companies. Let's talk about business models for speakers. Here are a few of them. Fee speaking, that's probably the most popular one. Everybody knows about fee speaking. Show up, talk for an hour, get some money, leave. That's fee speaking. How many people do fee speaking? Okay, a lot of people. How many people do it predominantly? It's your main thing. Okay, a couple people. Very difficult way to make your full living, but you know what? I know that Tom has been successful at it. I know Karen's very successful at it. So there are people who make it happen. That's not what I do. I'll show what I do in a minute. How many people sell from the platform? So they talk and they sell. You're good at that? Excellent. Okay? It's a real art form and very difficult to do. Not that many people are that great at it, but way by far, it's the big money. It's giant money. My concept, I call it own the gate. So I own a seminar company, and people pay me to come to my seminar. And then when I sell stuff, who do I have to share the profits with? No one. I get to keep all the money. But I also take all the risk. I put all the butts in the seats, too. So if people don't show up, who's responsible? Me. So that's the entrepreneur. Keynoting is really just a form of being hired by a company for a couple hours, and then you're done. Own the gate is a whole different kind of a model. And finally, there's speaker-dependent speaking, which is any kind of promotional activity. So that could be, listen, if you're a dentist and you want to promote your dental practice, that's speaker-dependent, isn't it? So the speaker is speaking on it, but the business really kind of stands on its own. So it's a form of promotional speaking. Yes? Be selling anything you want. It could be selling a product. It could be selling advisory services. So in other words, and when we're done here, we're gonna sell a little mastermind time, and for the chapter, we'll do that. So I'll show you kind of how that works and how that happens.
And owning the gate.
That's.
So are you saying you put the call out there, and if no one shows up, you invested in.
Well, yeah, but that would be correct. So in other words, my seminar company, I own the gate. So everybody that comes buys the ticket for the seminar from me. They come to the seminar. I'm responsible for organizing all the stuff. My team gets everything organized. How many people have a own the gate kind of arrangement? I know Jeff organizes a bunch of stuff. Okay, Marquesa, you do? So several people? Okay. So what happens is that you set up a seminar. People say, I would like to come to your seminar. And if you get a lot of people to come, you can make a lot of money. And then there could be a component of selling from the stage there too. Where at the end of the seminar at mine, for example, I sell some advisory services. And people will buy those, and if I do a good job of selling seats to the right people, I try to get the right kind of mix in the room because a better mix results in more back-end sales. And there's a whole rhythm to that. Okay, so that's a whole business to itself, own the gate. And finally, the speaker dependent, let's say that I do a keynote, and at the end, the company comes up and says, gee, that was really fantastic. Could you stick around and help us? I probably got that engagement because there was something that I was saying during the keynote that was interesting or helpful to them, and they perceived that I could help them in some way. So that's really, that's kind of the main models that speakers use. That, as I look at it, yeah. Selling from the platform is, okay, I've got books and tapes. Who wants them? $20, $100. That's selling from the stage. Promotional might be you speak for free, and it might be that you're selling something else. I mean, they actually in some way they're kind of related, but promotional speaking is really you're promoting your business. You go to Toastmasters, you go to one of the networking groups. You're promoting yourself using your speaking skills. Yeah, maybe brand building. That's a good way to put it. Whereas selling from the stage is a very specific skill that some people have, and their goal is to get them right this minute to buy something from you right now. Whereas promotional might be, let's develop a relationship so you become a customer over time. They're a little different. They're definitely related. I see the confusion, but they're definitely related. Okay, so there we go. That's pretty much stage one. Stage one, the other stages are gonna go faster, but that's pretty much stage one. It's really the revenue models. And the way that the revenue streams work and like those different companies. So let's talk about the concept of what I call a revenue octopus. All great companies have a revenue octopus. And a revenue octopus is a mechanism for diversifying your revenue streams. You need to have a bunch of different revenue streams in order to have a good, solid business that's not just dependent on one thing like keynote speaking. What if you don't get one for a while? Then you're gonna be in trouble, right? So you wanna have many things going on. So, I've got my hedge fund business, I've got my seminar business, and I've got a couple other things that I do, and all these things are all related to each other, but they're different, so money's coming in from different places. And as I retire from one and start going really more into another one, I'm gonna replace this money with this money. So, but I've got different ways that money moves, and that's the thing you wanna think about. So let's talk about the revenue octopus formula. So why would you build one? Number one, business diversification is very important. Now, it doesn't mean that you own a lawnmower business, and a pet supply store, you don't do unrelated things. You try to be doing things that are related. So they're all sort of derivative of your core business, whatever your core business is. That's very important. And I always say that small, rapidly growing companies all need to have a revenue octopus because you need to avoid seasonality. I mean, how many of these retailers, they make 80% of 60 or 80% of their money at Christmas time? What if they have a weak Christmas? I mean, the way accountants have done it, for example, is that most of their money gets made between February 1st and April 15th, right? Well, the rest of the year they're doing bookkeeping, they're doing other things, so they're trying to find ways. There's some guys that just, they don't do anything for 10 months, and they just work during those 2 months really, really hard, and then that's it. They don't sleep for 2 months, and that's their business. Other people have other ways they do it. So I just, you know, that's the way that, in that industry of my work, you know, for us, it works a little differently. And here's another thing that's important about a revenue octopus, is revenue octopus really allows you to repurpose the same content into another marketplace. So let's say, for example, Starbucks. Once they've got you in there for a cup of coffee, they might as well launch another revenue tentacle because they already got you. They did the hard part. They got the customer to come in. That's the hard part. And here's a very important concept, and that is that you make more money on the second transaction than you do on the first. And let me explain this to you in a very easy way. And you'll understand it, and we'll talk about speeches in a second. But when General Motors builds a car, how much does the first car cost compared to the second car? Well, the first car, they have to buy the land, build a plant, buy all the robots, have engineers do all the designs, the patents, the trademarks, the lawyers. All these things are happening. The first car might cost $5 billion. But how much does it cost to produce the second car? $10,000, maybe? It's just new materials, right? They just got to add some materials. Now, the accounting doesn't work that way. The accounting, they have to spread the cost across all the cars. But that's really the way the money moves. So the first car costs a lot. The second car costs very little. When you write a speech, the first time you write it might take 500 hours. The second time might be 50 hours. And the third time might be no hours. See what I'm saying? So you don't want to be creating brand new stuff all the time. You want to be repurposing your work. If you can take the same speech, transcribe it, turn it into a set of notes, blog points. If you've got one of these kind of books, like Nancy's book has a lot of chapters. Another plug, by the way. Here's what you can do. You know, you take your book and you've got many chapters, and each chapter is a bunch of subchapters. Each of those is a blog post. Each of those could be a podcast. Each of those could be a meme. They could be anything. And so there's lots of ways that you could distribute that same material. You could repurpose the material so you're not rebuilding the factory all over again. Because writing that book the first time, it took a long time, and it cost a lot of money. The second time, if you can take the material and you can repurpose it and do different things, all the better. And that's really what's significant. And there are people who specialize, and Jeff's got a great podcast arrangement, there's many ways to distribute material. But you now have the fodder to use the machinery that guys like Jeff have built. So that's the bottom line, is you've already got it. So, you know, you take, if every little sub-paragraph or every little subsection became a topic, you could leak it out. People still buy the whole thing because they want all of it at one time. But, you know, you've got all this material. You could flood the airwaves for months or for years, you know, with all your stuff. So that's a really significant thing. And that's the concept. What's that?
I said, look out.
Look out. That's it. Look out, Gary. That's what I'm telling you. So, yeah. I don't see that much work happening so far, but you've got a lot of redeeming to do. All right, so anyway, bottom line is that the second car costs a lot less, the second speech takes a lot less, and that's really important. So let's talk about revenue streams for speakers. It's a little hard to see this, but bottom line is that we've got training. There are commissions or success fees. I would imagine most speakers don't take much success fees. You know, if you're helping a company and you really help in a significant way, that would be helpful. You can help provide publishing services to other people. You can provide mentoring, coaching, masterminding, consulting, advisory. You can sell advertising, sponsorships. You can do expert witness. Any expert witnesses here?
Yes.
Anybody do any expert work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I do too. And so this is another way to demonstrate that you're a real expert. Being an expert in a court of law, you really have to be an expert. You can't just say, well, yeah, like in the speaking world, I'm an expert. I just wrote a book and now I'm an expert. That's not okay in a court of law. In a court of law, you have to really demonstrate you've got plenty of background, or a jury will never find you credible. So So if you do that, what a great way to demonstrate your expertise, and then you can parlay that, and the word parlay is a critical word. Subscription newsletters, produce your own seminars by owning the gate, selling books, magazines, souvenirs, all that kind of stuff. Telephone seminars, webinars, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, membership programs, assessments, speaker feeds, there's all kind of ways that people make money in this business. You just have to figure out which one is right for you. And there are many ways to do it. Do more than one thing. Do more than one. Now, don't be in 20 different businesses with different topics. They all need to be related. But if you're doing it, it could work out great. Now, once you've got your revenue streams in place, now you have to have a mechanism for taking the client from lane from point one to two to three to four to five. You just walk them down, and you have to have either a funnel or a mechanism to get them to kind of follow you along. And that is really the critical thing. How are we doing on time? Total, 10? All right, I'm going to burn a little faster. And I want to tell you the story of how I got into speaking business, because it kind of talks about structure. I told you I was going to explain structure, and it'll get us back to the how we take people from one place to the next. So in 1995, I sold my publishing company to a Fortune 500 company. And at that point in time, then I got a call from some other guys that wanted me to buy a company from them. I bought into this company, and we ran that company. And so a lot of things happened. And I really wanted to get into speaking. And so I went to an NSA event in 2007. I wasn't a member. I didn't really understand what it was. And I started meeting all these bureaus. And I'm thinking, boy, these people, they are going to love my story. I have a great story. My story is like one of the greatest stories like anybody could have. It's like, I was actually nervous. I was actually nervous when I met these bureaus that I was going to get booked too much. I was really nervous that they were going to want to book me so much that I would not have any free time, and I was going to be like in two cities every day, and it was going to be a nightmare for me. I was really losing sleep over being that busy. Didn't happen exactly that way. In fact, in 3 years of trying, guess how much money I made?
$2,000.
How much?
$2,000.
$2,000? Boy, that is overstated by 2,000. I made a total of $0. I made nothing. And so I thought, you know, something, I'm a very smart person, and I thought to myself, something I'm doing is not working. That requires significant brain power to figure that out. But it took me 3 years, but I did come to the conclusion. And so I thought, well, you know, what am I going to do different? And then out of the blue, I get a phone call from a guy. He's an executive with one of the giant real estate companies in the country, commercial real estate. And he said, hey, Joel, listen, we found you on the internet. We were reading some of your stuff. We'd like to bring you out to Florida to do a conference for us and teach us how to raise money to buy real estate. And I'm going, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. I've been, this now is the deal. So the guy offers me, it's about 20 grand. He offers me some money to go speak and put on this little conference. And so he said, he goes, sound okay to you? I said, well, let me sleep on how to do this. Let me just get some, think on it overnight, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. So next day I call him up. And here's what happened overnight. Now that I had an offer for me to go do a program for a fee, a pretty good fee too, by the way, you know, for my first time, really, you know. For the first, you know, time, it forced me to think. And I woke up the next morning and I thought, this isn't what I want at all. This is not what I want. I don't want 20 grand to give a speech. If I get 20 grand to give a speech, that's all I get. That's it. I'm done. So I called the guy on the phone. I said, listen, I thought about this. I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, I decided to take the deal we're working on, and I'm going to move it into my seminar company, which I just formed this morning. We're going to put it in my seminar company. And so what we'll do is we'll take your 20 grand, and I'll give you 40 tickets for that money. So I can invite some people. You invite some people. And he goes, yeah, that sounds like a real good idea. Oh, perfect. So now what did I just do? This is called structure. This is called structure. You know, 20 grand went in the bank. So if you just look at the bank account, they're the same. But what happened was, one was a one-time deal. I would have got 20 one time and it would be over. I'd never hear from the guy again. The second way is a company that now has done 20 national programs I mean, he put me in business, this guy. He put me in a brand new business. So what I did was I set up the seminar company, gave him some tickets. I sold some tickets. At the end of the conference, by the way, then I sold advisory services. How much did I have to give to him? Zero. I kept all of it for myself and all the other things that happened. And there's been a lot of spinoff and other kind of business that happened. And all of that was because of how I structured the transaction. Instead of as a keynote, I set it up as a seminar where I owned the gate. Now, from the point of view of the customers, did they have any sense that there were any differences? No. You see what I mean by structure in the money? And it's, you know, how you move the money changes everything. That's what I'm talking about. And it was very simple, I had to really think, is that what I want? Do I want a keynote fee or do I want something else? And when I really stopped to think about it, what I realized was I needed something else. So that's how I got in the speaking business, and to this day I run a seminar company. We sell 50 tickets twice a year. That's it. It's a nice little company. I stayed in venture capital. I kind of, you know, did that. Anyway, so here we go. So, all right, let's see. I had some conclusions, by the way, and that was that I really didn't want to work with bureaus. I wouldn't mind to pay a bureau, but I don't want to be brokered. I don't like to be brokered. I want to be represented. And bureaus don't represent people. They broker people. Unfortunately, brokers don't have any control over the clients. They don't have any control over us. They have no control over anything, and that's the problem. They're same as real estate brokers, stock brokers, mortgage brokers. They don't control anything, and that's what's wrong with their business, is that they have no control. And that's what I don't want you to do. Do not get yourself in a situation where you have no control. If you can't control anything, who's going to take care of your family? Then you're dependent on other people, and 3/4 of the time they're going to lie to you, and something's going to go wrong, and you're not going to get what you expect, not going to pay as you expect, and all the other things. So you need to be in control, okay? All right. And what I really realized was that I was truly unemployable. And there was only one person on this planet that was going to hire me, and that was going to be me. And that was the seminar company. So we set up the seminar company, and it's gone on, and it's done good. And it's good that the guy didn't just give me the keynote fee, because it would have never, nothing would ever happen. I would have done it one time, and it would, that's it, be done. So, all right. Let's burn through a little faster. All right. So here's our, I just want to show you our funnel because I think it's important for you to see this. And then we're going to start winding down, take questions, some other stuff. My symposium, here's what happens. So people get onto our list. First thing they do, they get into our list. The very first thing that they want to do, people call me, hey, Joel, can I have a cup of coffee and pick your brain? Can I buy a cup of coffee for $1? You probably can't afford $1 for a cup of coffee, so I'm going to generously buy you one. And then you're going to tell me everything I need to know how to get rich. Sorry, pal, not happening. Okay, I mean, I get invited out to coffee. I really don't need you to buy me a cup of coffee. I'll buy my own coffee. How about that? So what I tell people is, you want to be in the family? Buy a ticket to the symposium, and then you come to my neighborhood, happy to have lunch with you after you buy a ticket for $2,100. That's it. That's the base price, $2,100. And, you know, and so that basically cuts the wheat from the chaff, doesn't it? I mean, I just tell them this is how much it is, and if you want to come, if you want to play ball, then you play ball, and if not, then that's it. Then they come to the symposium, 50 people come, and for 3 days, I teach them how the money business works. We take a deep dive on exactly how it works, exactly how to raise money, exactly how the rules work, all the things about this. And at the very end, I say, and I tell them right up front, nothing's for sale. Except for if you want me to help advise on how to set up a fund, I'll help you do that. And that's $51,000. And we sell quite a few of those every single time. That's why it's a good business. So you get people to pay the money to come in, and then they upgrade to a finish line, and then they go through their process, and we help them. And it's a very good structure. And then what happens is I built my own fund. I got their fund. And then we have another company that we set up to help raise capital. So just all these things have kind of grown out of this business, but it all started with, you start a list, you have something very concrete to sell, and I offer anybody who wants to talk to me, and I'm selling an expensive thing, anybody who wants to talk to me, there's a link to my calendar, get on my calendar for free. And I can tell in 5 minutes if it's gonna go anywhere or not, and I'll answer their questions, and if they're any good, I'll invite them to come to the conference, and they got certain criteria they have to meet in order to come, and if they don't meet the criteria, they don't get to come. And the criteria, and here's what's important, if you have an own the gate kind of arrangement, and whether you have own the gate or not, even your clients, you need to put them through some kind of a criteria process. because it will kind of weed out the cruddy ones. And so for me, what I tell them is you either have to be a real estate professional licensed in some state, or you have to be a financial intermediary person, CPA, attorney, banker, lender, like that, or you have to have a specialization in some asset class. And so immediately when I tell them those three criteria, you know what happens? I'm not selling them anymore. Guess what they start doing? Oh, well, I'm a real estate broker, and I have this experience, and I've done this and this. Please let me in the program. I'm really, really highly qualified. You wouldn't believe how qualified I am. I'd be one of the most qualified people you ever had come to your program. And I'm going, really, great. Take out your credit card right now. Let's buy the ticket. That's it. And most of the time, they do.
So,
I don't do that as a gimmick, but it really does reverse the discussion, which is really powerful. All right, so...
Here's my funnel.
Not that relevant for you guys, but you need to have a funnel. You need to be, again, remember I talked about clarity? You have to be crystal clear. You know how clear you have to be to make a diagram like this? You got to be clear, really clear, and that's what's important. So, so that's three stages of the rocket. The details are something else. But let's just take a quick look. We're winding down. We'll open for questions, and then we'll finish up. So first thing is master your model. You have to have the model under control. You got to get that clarity thing going first. Second is we got to get the revenue streams in order. Third is we have to have an action plan, which is like the steps that we're going to take. And then finally, you know, you got the details that that make it all work, and that's important. And remember I told you that this is really what to do. Unfortunately, I can't counsel individual people on how to do it, but that's what the opportunity is going to be here in a minute. So the question I ask, how many of you people have most of the components, you know, that I just described? Okay, some people do. A lot of people will start buying like technology gadgets and marketing projects and programs, but you're marketing stuff that you don't even know what it is. And that's really, that's the shortcoming. A lot of people burn up all their money. I had a guy buy a ticket to the symposium the other day. He says, "Joel, I've already spent $50,000 trying to learn how to do stuff in real estate, and you know, and it's just like I haven't gotten anywhere." And I explained to him why. I said, "Here's what you're missing. You know, you're networking in the wrong places. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong." And I said, "And frankly, you're kind of at below the level of the people that we like to take." But he was a referral from somebody that's important to me. So I said, I want you to find another person that you can pair up with. I mean, I gave him very specific instructions. And he bought his ticket, and he's going to come, and I'll help him. But that's what I'm telling you, too, is that a lot of people, I'm not succeeding in speaking. Well, what are you doing? It's so obvious once you kind of understand that you got to have all these fundamentals. You can't build the penthouse before you build the foundation. And a lot of people don't have their foundation under control. So... first thing I want to do as we wind down, I'm going to give you a copy of my book. Everybody's going to get a PDF copy that's the speaker edition. So everybody, take out your phone real quick. Take out your phone. I'm going to show you how to get it right now. And open your texting app, and you're going to text the... number 72,000, you're going to put in the word gig, G-I-G, gig. And what will happen is it will send you a little message that says, are we okay with us sending messages? And we're not going to spam you. We don't really send anything. We need to send a little more stuff. We don't hardly send anything. And then it'll say, you know, give us your email address. We'll email you the book. So that's how you're going to get the book. And you all can have the book. It's all free. Enjoy it. And I hope you learn something from it. It's going to be good. By the way, I want to do a shout out to Jeff Haefeling. You know, Jeff's an awesome guy. I did a C-suite interview on my book, and I have had people from all over the country and around the world, including Karen, by the way. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, my son's girlfriend was on an airplane next to somebody and who was playing the thing, and they're watching my interview. It was unbelievable. This is an incredible thing what he's got. I mean, I'm impressed by it. It's very extraordinary.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's extraordinary. So, question?
Yeah, a general question for you.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
You have such a passion for this contrarian way of solving these problems with these companies. You can see it, you can show it.
Well, no. So my speaking is really it's a three-pronged model. Okay, it's not just keynote speaking because I think that's a poor model. So for me, there's keynote and that has an A and a B. A is 1 hour. B is in residence, which I'll stay for the whole duration of the conference, and then be available to help. And I think that speakers need to be developing more of these in residence kind of programs. Secondly, is there's an advisory component that I'm available to do advisory, and that wouldn't mean that I'm going to take an office in their office, take space in their office. That means that once a month we get on the phone. And third, are these you know, like Ron Carr has these CRO groups. I'm going to do like a chief executive officer group where people will join masterminds and things like that. So you know, those there's a lot of ways to make that happen, and those are high end programs. So to me, a keynote is an opportunity to stand in front of a group of people and sell for an hour. That's what a keynote is to me. Okay, I'm not saying sell in an aggressive and kind of filthy way, but if they fall in love with you, they want more. They just want more. And I think we have an obligation to give them more. Otherwise, we're just teasing them, and it's not right. I mean, that's my opinion. You can do it any way you want, but that's my opinion. So let's keep going. I just got a couple things. If the book is not enough, how many people would like to make 10 to 50 times on their investment? 10 to 50 times. Anybody? Just a couple people? Just a couple people, really. Well, there. Now we're talking. Thank you. Will you say that again, please?
Everyone in the room.
There. Thank you very much. That's perfect. Everyone in the room should want 10 to 50 times to turn their investment.
But they didn't express that.
Yeah. That's because they're not red balls. You see, now we're talking. See, now we're back to the parlance here. Okay. So the lady in the blue. This is a red ball. This is a person who understands being a red ball.
Yes.
There, see. Okay. This gentleman in the back understands being a red ball. I mean, I asked before, how many people are red balls? Y'all raise your hand. You're a fake red ball. I mean, we got like some fakers, you know. We got fakers and sneakers. So we got, you know. So, you know, they're not all red balls, because when push comes to shove, not everybody's willing to do what it takes to do. So, I spent the last 2 hours or whatever we're speaking here together, talking about what to do, not how to do it. And there are people, by the way, in the audience that I've actually worked personally with, and I've done some stuff. Not on a payment basis, because I don't charge speakers for my time. Bruce, we done any good work together?
I would say we have.
So just give him a sentence or two.
I would say there's one overriding theme to Joel's message, which is when we think bigger, we'll make a bigger impact on the world, and isn't that what we all want? So as a result of Joel's brainstorm a couple years ago, I now have an institute for high character leadership that Rochelle Rice spent a hard year working on with me, and it's changed my life. I'm charging more, but more importantly, I feel with Joel's mentorship, I'm making a bigger impact.
How about Karen? You're going to do good with that. So so let me just tell you, and I'm going to sell you something right now. Money's going to start moving here in about a minute. You better be ready. It's going to move fast. I do this with our chapter. I do it every month. And I told the leadership of this group, I'm not keeping any of the money. It's all going back to the chapter, except for a very small piece, which is going to offset a little the licensing we do. So we have there's a little thing. But for the most part, none of it's going to me. It's 90% is going to stay over this chapter. And here's what it is. If you think that what I just told you could be helpful, and anybody think it was helpful?
Yeah,
anybody
absolutely.
Think? We talked about what to do. We didn't talk specifically about how you are going to do it. Okay? And that's because you can't consult people on a one-to-many basis. So I'm going to sell two different things, and all the money goes back to the chapter, like I said. And hopefully what we do in LA is we recycle those all those dollars that we raise, and we raise probably more money than any chapter in the country. It all goes to Influence Conference scholarships. So we send 11 people to Baltimore. We're probably sending 20 people to Influence. I mean, we pick up the tab and we send them because we think it really enhances our chapter.
We have a little way to go.
Yeah, okay, okay, you do. But we're going to fund a couple scholarships right now. And you don't have to give scholarship, but that's what we do. That's what we do with our money. So here's what it is. If you think I could help you, anybody have any specific questions about your business that you could, that you think I could help you with?
Yes.
I'll sell an hour of my time. $500.
Got it. I'm
in. One. How many? Who else? Two. Oh, there's two available. Two. Done. Where's, who's got the credit card machine? Didn't I tell you?
Ben's got the credit
card. I'm telling you. Stand up, man. This is going to go fast. Come here, Ben. I'm telling you. Write down their names. Hurry up. Go see Ben right now. All right. So here's the other thing. I'm offering one other thing. How many think that 4 weeks in a row with me would make an hour each time? In a group, though, not by yourself. I did this with Houston, and we have a group of five people, and these people have turned inside out because each person, as we kind of got to know each other, I was able to give them very specific advice about what it is that they need to do with their businesses. So here's what we're going to do. If I said it was $1,000, how many people would want to do it? In a mastermind,
yes.
$1,000. How many people would want to do it? One, two, three, four,
five.
$1,000. I think we need to get six or
can
we need to get six or eight.
Attack it. Those of us who want the individual and to join in, is there?
They're separate.
Okay.
Okay. This is a nonprofit. We don't get a special deal. This is a nonprofit. We're raising money. We're not giving like a wholesale arrangement. Okay. So here's what we're gonna do. All right. What we're gonna do? $1,000 a person. Raise your hand. Minimum six. Maximum eight. One. Two. Ben, you catching this? Three, four.
Someone's
got to
write this down. I can't swipe and write.
Who else?
Just
four and we're canceling the deal. We need two more people. Let's go. We need six. Let's go. Who else?
Me? Chapter name? Jay? Who else? And again? Jay?
Come on. Who else?
Corey.
Okay.
Tony.
All right. Who else? Mm-hmm. What is that? Is that three or four?
I got you, Jay.
And you were the fourth?
No, I'm the first.
Oh, you're on the other one? Who else? Come on. What do we got?
We got Jay, Corey, Tony.
That one down here.
Okay, we got another one? Well, that's okay. Might buy your way out of the doghouse.
Okay. I got it made directly. I'm not going for a broker.
No broker on this deal. I'll tell you right now. That's it? That's all we got? Because we're not doing the program for three people. Sorry, guys. That's it. Nobody else.
Corey, Tony.
So we got three? Really?
How many?
New York City. We got three people. We need six. We got three people in New York City. You're telling me, of all the stuff that we just talked about, we sit on the phone, we go on a Zoom call, you spill your heart out, you tell me all the stuff, then I give you the feedback and tell you exactly what to do to make your life and your business better. You don't think you can make 50 times, if you don't make 50 times your money, $1,000, if you make 50 grand on the stuff that I tell you to do, something went terribly wrong. And let me tell you, if I get it half right and you only make 25 times, not so bad. Four.
Tammy?
Is that number four or five?
Four.
She's number four?
Yeah.
Okay, who's number five? Come on, let's go. Five? And we got one more. We need one more. One more person.
Is Gary number five?
Yeah, he's
okay.
Because
if he wasn't number five, I was going
to
be.
Okay, we got one more spot. Number six. That's it. Six. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Put it at 25-1 guarantee.
I'll tell you why I can't guarantee it. This is why none of us can guarantee anything. Because I can't guarantee what you're going to do with what I tell you to do. I can promise you that it's going to be the best advice I can give you. But I can't promise what you're going to do with it. And because I don't have control, six? All right, listen, there's number six. Guys, congratulations.
Yes.
Want it? You want it? Seven? All right, number seven.
Woo!
We just raised $8,000.
All right. $8,000
from U.S. Did we just do good? All right, guys. Hey, listen, thank you very much for having me. I think, I don't think that I have anything else. So here's the quick, by the way, here's what we're going to do. First thing was we're gonna get crystal clear. Second thing, we're gonna have a business model and revenue streams. Third week is positioning. So once you're an expert now, how do you position yourself in the marketplace? And finally, how do you sell yourself once you do that? That's what we're gonna do over 4 weeks. Okay, that's it. So there you go. I got a friend, his name is Leonard. He says that, and this happened the other night when I was speaking to real estate groups. There are people, rich people dig for gold, and poor people complain about the price of the shovel. And there are people, I really want to get rich, I want to do this stuff, but I don't want to pay $1,000. You know, I can't help that. You are what you are where you are in your life and all this stuff. But the people who take action and that listen and that do the things that we say you're supposed to do, they're going to be well taken care of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Eight. We just sold another one. That's our last one.
Please,
eight.
Please,
we're closed. Number eight, right there.
Nate.
By the way, you got to shout your name out.
Pay Ben.
Right now. Right now.
Before you leave.
Right now. Otherwise, you're penalized. It's $1,500. Oh, one last thing. You know what? I have this resource guide. I'm going to send it to you. I'd like you to distribute it for free to everyone. All my favorite tricks. Like, I got this text expander service and all these different tricks and things that I use to make my business better, and I'll send that out to you guys for free. And here's the last thing. I gave everybody a copy of the book for free. If you would like a physical copy to take home with you right now to read on the train or on the plane or wherever you go, $20. That's it. And Bruce, I think Bruce is collecting it, or you can give it to me, whatever, and I'll sign it and the whole thing. But guys, that is, that's how you... All right.
My goodness.
There you go. It's all right on the camera.